Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Howdy, listeners from coast to coast, the Gulf to Canada, and around the globe. Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Kind of a different format to the show today. I think you might like it. A little deviation is always good once in a while. I promised you last week I was going to bring you kind of my opinions on where the United States and the planet is going on a number of, should we say, major tangents and major directions, for whatever my opinion is worth, as a Hastings, Wyoming. And this is at the behest, the request of many, many listeners over the last several months. And we're going to have, of course, our founder's quote and our rant story. And then we're going to have a slightly different format for the rest of the show, too. A really short historical story, which kind of ties into where this show is going. And then we're going to have, kind of out of order of the normal show structure for On the Right Side Radio, a huge rat-a-tat-tat, all sorts of various subjects. You know, diversity is a good thing, right, folks? DEI. But all these tie into how we're going to end the show, which is my opinion on where things are going on a whole bunch of tangents. And what's kind of cool about this, and we'll tie this into the announcements, if you will, we are about set up to go visual. That's right. The video channels on the Right Side Radio, the channels will actually be called the Cowboys Take, a division of On the Right Side Radio's informational programs. And we are going to be listed in a whole bunch of places where you will be able to view my ugly maw and listen to my rambling speech, ranting about hither, thither, and yon. So, number one, and by the way, all this is going to be on the website here over the coming week with links for you, so you can choose the platform that you like the best. We will be on BitChute, The Cowboys Take, Rumble, On the Right Side Radio, Substack, The Cowboys Take, Twitter, or X, I guess, you know, we got to be like with the times here, The Cowboys Take, and Patreon, The Cowboys Take, and YouTube, The Cowboys Take, and finally, Gab Social, On the Right Side Radio. And we're going to be leading off because each one of these shows, the videos, are going to have interviews of really well-known folks, political, economic, ideological, and I will be playing segments of these interviews on the radio show, too, for all you AM listeners and podcast listeners. So it's going to be kind of a really nice mix, and we're going to be leading off probably the week after next. We'll keep you fully informed on the website and here on the radio show with John Rubino, who is quite the guy. I mean, he knows his way around the financial industry, the political side of things, the international side of things. Very well respected. A big voice across the, we'll call it the YouTube spectrum. And I am really pleased to have him as our lead-off guest. Once again, we will be on the video sites beginning week after next, and we'll have all the information for you. And listen, when you go to listen to us, please give us a like if you like us. Give us a subscribe if you want to hear us again. And ring the bell or whatever the various platforms have to signify or let them know that you want to be informed when a new video is posted, which will be every week. So all that's kind of exciting. We shall see how it goes, right? You will be the judge, folks, not me. So let's start off with our founder's quote. And I think this is really fitting for where we're going to be going in this show. Benjamin Franklin, quote, "Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far as by it he does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer, and the only bounds it ought to know. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing this freedom of speech, a thing terrible to traitors." That's right, freedom of speech, those who suppress it are traitors. And my, there's a lot of suppression going on out there, isn't there, folks? By omission or by misstatement or by just straight censorship. And our rant story this week. Well, you know, I've told you that we are expecting kind of a dry summer here in Wyoming, and we've been scrambling around getting water going early. In fact, as of May 1, which is when we usually, give or take a few days, turn on all the pivots and the mechanized irrigation, and May 7th, which is generally when we have all the ditches chugging and gurgling and spewing their water out of the sets, the irrigation sets across the fields. We are way ahead of schedule, way ahead of the normal guidelines. In fact, today I put the final touches on the final ditch, got the water to it, got the sets all gurgling and bubbling merrily as the water kind of spewed out into a grass that still really isn't growing since it's pretty damn early and it's pretty cold. But this has followed kind of a frantic week of work, and I mean, it's hard work. You're setting canvas dams, all sorts of work with head gates. You're constantly monitoring the rise and fall of the reservoirs because everything has to be kept in balance since each plateau of irrigation feeds another. And it was kind of a blustery day. Sunny, but windy. A little Wyoming wind. And cool, very cool. And I was up on kind of a high point, and I could see the ditches kind of winding serpentine along the contours of the hillsides, glistening with water. And you could see kind of the sheen of the water in the grasses as it was coming out of the ditches. Even further down below, the pivot was chugging along merrily in its arc over the alfalfa field. And I kind of breathed a sigh of relief. We got her done. And you know, I sat down on a rock up there and just kind of surveyed the scene. It was majestic, right? Wyoming's all about big space and jagged canyons and twisted pointy peaks and, of course, the agricultural valleys. And I sat up there for 10 or 15 minutes just kind of taking in the scene and reveling in the thought that we were way ahead of schedule. We had gotten the mission accomplished, at least mostly, still. Always a couple polishes and dribs and drabs to do. And over the course of time, you have to change sets and change water and move ditches or move water into ditches and out of ditches, all sorts of different things. But the original setup to get an irrigation season going is where the really concentrated, really hard dawn to dusk work goes on. And that was done. And I gave myself about 15 minutes up there surveying the scene with pride and with relief. And with kind of an awe in the sense of grandeur of the place. And you know, it occurred to me that when you set a goal and you work hard and you achieve it, it pays. And whether it's a week-long vacation or a dinner with your wife or your girlfriend or your significant other, or just 15 minutes on a rock, on a hillside, using your senses, your eyes, your ears, your skin, your nose, you deserve it. So for all of you out there who are listening to this, who have goals, when you achieve them, take a moment and enjoy the achievement. And that's the moral of today's rant story. Now let's get into our very short historical story, which ties right in with this show and where this show is going to end up, which is the Hayseed's opinions. So let's go back to the Roman days. And by the way, I have extensive shows on the history of money and the history of banking. You should go to the archives on therightsideradio.com and listen to them, particularly based on where the United States and the world is right now in terms of, shall we say, a very shaky financial platform. So the major silver coin that was used during the first 220 years of the empire, the Roman Empire, was the denarius. And by the way, that's about the age of the United States, isn't it? This coin, by the way, was between the size of kind of a modern nickel and a dime, and was worth, at that time, about a day's wages for a skilled laborer or a craftsman. In the very first days of the empire, these coins were very high purity. They held about 4.5 grams of pure silver. But there was a finite supply of silver and gold entering the empire, and Roman spending was limited by the amount of denarii that it could mint. Well, gee, we're beginning to sound familiar just a little bit here. And, you know, the emperors, they had their pet projects. The newest war, the newest palace, the newest circus, whatever it was going to be. How are they going to pay for this if they don't have more denarii? So they found a way to work around it. You know, kind of like the nations on the planet right now, particularly the Western nations and led by the United States. They began to decrease the purity of their coinage. And that allowed them to make more, quote-unquote, silver coins with the same face value. And since there were more coins in circulation, the government could spend more. So the content of the silver dropped over the years. In fact, from the time of about 64 to 68 AD to the time of basically the last Roman Emperor Claudius II in 268, the denarii dropped from almost 100% silver, pure silver, down to just about 3% silver in a denarii coin. You know, but adding more coins of poor quality, you know, think about Federal Reserve notes, folks, into circulation, it didn't help prosperity. It just transferred wealth away from the people. And it meant that more coins were needed to pay for the same goods and services. And since Rome was engaged in a constant state of both offensive and defensive wars, one of the emperors kind of summed it up. Caracalla, he raised his soldiers' pay 50% because they were having a hard time filling the ranks of the Roman army. And this was around 210 AD. Quote, "Nobody should have any money but I, so that I may bestow it upon the soldiers," unquote. Ukraine, Mideast, Asia. Any of this sounding vaguely familiar 2,500 years ago, folks? By the way, by 265 AD, when there was only like 0.5% of silver left in the denarius, prices had skyrocketed for goods and services 1,000% across the entire Roman Empire. In fact, at that time, Rome had to hire mercenaries to fight for it, and the barbarians, the mercenaries that they hired, demanded to be paid only in gold. And this hyperinflation, soaring taxes, because, you know, you got to pay for all this fun stuff, these circuses and these wars, it created kind of a trifecta, which sounds somehow familiar. And it dissolved, undermined much of Rome's trade and its standing in the rest of the world. In the end, by the way, the empire was kind of in a free-for-all, and the emperors were kind of gone, and it split into three separate states. And barbarian invasions came in from every direction. Plague was rampant. And in the end, the last of these three states, the Western Roman Empire, would cease to exist by 476 AD. And now let's get into rat-a-tat-tat, shall we? As we lead up to the denouement of the show, which is the cowboy's take. So there's a rule, and we're going to be all across the board here, folks. Pay attention to these, because it's going to tie into what you're going to hear toward the end. There's a recent rule that just came out from the U.S. Department of Education. No congressional action, of course, just the bureaucrats making the rules, appointed by the imposters in the White House. And it's based on Title IX, which was passed by Congress in 1972. Quote, "No person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any educational program, blah, 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 blah." So they're trying to expand Title IX, a 1,700-page expansion of it, by the way, to include gender identity and sexual orientation. Huh, who would have thought? By the way, this new rule was published April 19th, and this will tie into some things you're going to hear in just a moment that are going on in the States. You know, an attack on the family, an attack on education, and a boost to indoctrination of your children. We've come to find out, kind of some more election fraud coming your way here, that government agencies across the United States are engaged in illegal practices such as soliciting non-citizens to vote and kind of scaring them into registration. This, by the way, first surfaced, believe it or not, in Florida, but it's now been found out to be occurring with lust and vigor in all the swing states. Huh. What a coincidence. And Joe Hoft is the investigator who found this. So illegal immigrants were being registered to vote in Florida. I mean, this is like, we're talking about like right now. You know, first, these illegal aliens crossed the U.S. border. Then they obtain asylum applications or immigration court paperwork after they're arrested, of course. Then they use the paperwork to acquire a Florida driver's license, a state ID, or a Social Security number, or a combination. Then they sign up for Florida food and medical assistance, using the same immigration paperwork, by the way. And then, once that's all done, government agencies such as the Department of Children and Family Services are sending solicitation letters to these illegal aliens, urging them to register to vote based on public records that these agencies are conducting searches of to find, shall we say, voting targets. Then the non-citizens are instructed to fill out and mail in voter registration applications. No citizenship verification. And this allows non-citizens to register to vote using their driver's license or Social Security number, or simply checking a box for, gee, I don't have an ID. By the way, the solicitation letters to get them to register includes a reference to the financial assistance that they recently applied for. Not threatening, of course, but, you know, something is kind of tying the two together in the minds of the person reading the solicitation letter and looking at the registration form. And what's really curious is that, either wittingly or unwittingly, this process is being aided and abetted even by some Republican governors. Okay, they're shutting it down in Florida. But let's take Wyoming. So the Secretary of State, Chuck Gray, excellent. And he has tried three times to get some election integrity rules signed by the governor, Governor Gordon. Three times Governor Gordon has refused to sign them. The latest rule, which by the way is supported by over 80% of Wyoming's population, is that at the time of voting, you have to prove your residency, i.e. you live in that county, you live in that district, and that you are a U.S. citizen. This is Reed. Here's a flash for you on financial preparedness, and I suggest you listen. The Fed just reported on 2023, the central bank itself lost billions of dollars. In addition, the government stacked $2 trillion in debt burden on the unbelievable debt. Currently, the 2024 debt load is breaking all records. It's going up $1 trillion every 100 days. The government lies, but the numbers don't. These are extremely negative events for your purchasing power. Since 2000 alone, your dollar has declined almost 90% in purchasing power. Gold, on the other hand, is up 700 to 800% as it fluctuates. You can roll over your retirement accounts to a silver or gold-backed IRA or have silver or gold shipped to you. Harvard Gold. I recommend them. Get protected today. Very conservative. Best customer service in the business. Top ratings. Great promotions. Call Harvard Gold Group, silver or gold, at 844-977-GOLD. Ask for your free investment guide. Call 844-977-GOLD or harvardgoldgroup.com.
Threads West, An American Saga, is the number one national Amazon and Barnes & Noble best-selling epic saga, recipient of 37 national literary awards. Written by rancher Reed Lance Rosenthal and serves in part as the inspiration of the acclaimed 1883 miniseries. The sweeping Threads West epic saga is our American story. Beginning in May 1854, men and women from America and Europe, England, Ireland, Norway, Denmark, Italy, and Prussia, an Oglala Sioux family, a Ute Indian family, a Spanish vaquero chased north by the Texas Rangers, an elderly black couple setting their life sails for the winds of freedom, a renegade you will revile, and an American trapper you'll love. Men and women of uncommon cultures, differing origins, competing ambitions, and their weave of the American cloth in the West. Alexandra Brown, Romantic Shorts, says, Reed Lance Rosenthal has outdone himself. Rosenthal's characters just blew me away. They are as real, if not more so, as most of the people I have ever met. Get it now. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, Nook, Audible, or from the publishers, ThreadsWestSeries.com.
For some reason, he says it's because it's not necessary and it's already handled when you register. Governor Gordon has refused to sign that, which is really interesting in light of the story I brought you just previous to this. Secretary of State Gray, however, says, quite accurately, that the registration process in Wyoming is only a declaration that you are a citizen and a resident. No proof. Personally, I think you ought to prove your residency and your citizenship both when you register and at the time you vote. But then, you know, I'm just a rancher looking out over irrigated fields somewhere in the mountains of Wyoming. I don't know if you know this, but you know, Mayorkas, who is, yeah, he's the traitor's traitor, folks. I warned you about him long before Joe Biden appointed him as the head of the Department of Homeland Security. He was impeached by the House, and then it went to the Senate, and to the Senate's disgrace, and I think this is really indicative of where we are. The Democratic majority of the Senate, it was a 51-49 vote, basically voted to not proceed with an impeachment trial. Huh. You think if Mayorkas' last name had been Trump, that would have been the vote. And then the House of Representatives. First of all, they inextricably pass, with, by the way, about 100 Republican votes, unbelievable, pass this foreign quote-unquote aid bill, including $60 billion more. We're now up to about $150 billion down the rat hole of Ukraine, of aid to Ukraine. It also included aid to Israel and some other stuff. But as I've told you in the past, this aid, number one, a bunch of it is being siphoned off in graft and corruption. Number two, it's enriching the military-industrial complex here in the United States, which may be the real reason for it. But number three, it's also paying for all the government operations, including the pensions of people in the Ukrainian government. You know, we must be flush with cash over here in the United States. Our economy must be rolling. It's just great that we can do this and not be in debt, don't you think? But the House of Representatives also took another inexplicable step, once again, with roughly 100-120 Republicans, unbelievable, voting with the Democrats, of course, to table a motion which would have reconsidered what's called HB 7888, which we know as the FISA Act, right? The Patriot Act, basically. But this specific portion of it deals with FISA, the right of the government to surveil people, just by calling them a threat, of course. I've already brought you the story, this is several years ago, but official intelligence docs that were unearthed in a FOIA request by Judicial Watch, who I once again will tell you are just rock, they reveal that the FBI misused FISA, never mind Trump and the rest of that, 278,000, that's 278,000 times, to spy on Americans, including, oh, who would have thought, political adversaries of the current administration and the previous administration, Obama, which is really one and the same, you know? The final vote, by the way, on the Section 02 of the Foreign Surveillance Act, FISA, was 273 to 147. 126 Republicans supported this breach of trust against American citizens. It's unbelievable. And now we kind of find out, I've brought you the stories over the last 8 or 9 weeks on what's going on with the grab for private property and basically trying to take your public lands away from you in addition to your private property. And wow, here's another crony capitalist boondoggle underway. The Bureau of Land Management is now proposing to expand its Western Solar Energy Initiative, but it's going to take care of big game migration routes and critical winter habitat, etc., etc., etc. So don't you worry. Nothing go wrong here, folks. Basically, the BLM folks wants to increase solar energy production. Remember, the federal government's subsidizing the solar industry on federal lands 15-fold over the next 20 years, from 9,200 megawatts to 130,000 megawatts of power generation. By the way, for you folks listening to me in Wyoming, 3 million acres of the roughly 18 million acres of federal ground in Wyoming would be affected by this. 3 million acres, which is the size of Campbell County, which is a big county, way bigger than Rhode Island. Now, what do you think that does for that outdoor recreation and environmental stewardship they've been jumping up and down about and promising us that they were going to safeguard, particularly now that conservation groups can bid on leases rather than cattlemen or oil, gas, energy, and mining projects. And then, of course, we've all heard about the, we'll call them protests, I guess, erupting at universities around the country. Much of it, shall we say, fueled by outside agitators financed by George Soros' NGOs. Well, gee, nothing new under that sun. But these protesters are getting a little out of hand, right? And this is really, I think, kind of the tip of the iceberg of civil unrest that you're going to see. But more on that at the end of the show. And then, you'll love this paradox. So Obama goes on MSNBC and he declares, I quote, trust every word MSNBC spews, they don't fabricate tales, unquote. Basically, he spent minutes, long minutes, telling the audience that we should all trust mainstream media because they tell us the truth, folks. Yeah. Okay, you got it, you got it. And so does Google. They'd never lie to us. Or Facebook. Now, juxtaposed against this is the same week, there's a guy by the name of Berliner. He worked at NPR for many, many, many years. The guy was great. I really liked him. And he was a middle-of-the-road, informative journalist. But as we all know, mainstream media, including NPR, which Nancy Pelosi snuck $75 million of funding into the COVID bill for, has gone, shall we say, way leftward. And Berliner actually wrote a piece in the Free Press, which criticized NPR's coverage of Russiagate, the COVID lab leak, Hunter Biden's laptop, downplaying anti-Semitism after October 7th, all sorts of things. And guess what NPR did? They fired him. Remember our founder's quote? That's right, freedom of speech. It's kind of key to a representative republic, even to a democracy, which the Democrats like to call us, which we aren't. By the way, did you know that NPR's listenership, since the public has caught on to all this mainstream media nonsense, has decreased from 45 million over the last 2 years to 11 million. That is one whopping downward slide. And you know, may it continue. And we have a whole bunch of Second Amendment stuff going because, you know, taking your guns away is not about your safety or the public safety. It's about their, the elite's safety. And it's about one world government and global dominance. And that's why the United Nations came out 2 weeks ago, you know, the same outfit that we give billions to, we shouldn't give a dime to. And the WHO came out, oh, another globalist group, came out and said, you know, Americans, this is a really bad health problem. Americans have to give up their guns. Oh, yes, you bet. And there was a trial just concluded in New York. I mean, it's happening at every level, folks. They do not want you armed. And there was a guy by the name of Taylor, and he had a hobby. His hobby was gunsmithing. He was a machine shopist, specialized in dies and cuts and metals and all that kind of stuff. And he got fascinated with making guns. He purchased all the parts to the guns he made totally legally. And then he was arrested for all sorts of weapons charges, which were, you know, totally fabricated. He was not a dealer. He wasn't selling the guns. And he got a judge by the name of Abina Darkeh, D-A-R-K-E-H. This is a real peach. First of all, she didn't let the defense basically present the defense. You know, kind of completely ran over Taylor's civil rights and due process. And she even said at the beginning of the trial in front of the jury, quote, "Do not bring the Second Amendment into this courtroom. It doesn't exist here, so you can't argue Second Amendment. This is New York," unquote. By the way, Taylor was convicted on 13 counts, unfortunately, and I think that you will find that reversed by an appellate court and certainly by the Supreme Court, as it should be. And then, of course, there's all sorts of economic news popping, yapping everywhere. And although they try and put lipstick on a pig, sorry, in Sarah Palin's words, it's still a pig. So there's going to be a huge pension problem, folks. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the last third of the show in my prognostications for the coming future. There's going to be a huge pension problem, which may in the end turn out to be a huge debt problem or additional debt problem for the United States. But a lot of pensions are invested in commercial buildings. And as you know, a lot of regional banks, we had one fail just a few days ago, didn't hear much about it, did you? Have a significant portion of their portfolios, depending upon the bank, in commercial real estate, particularly office buildings. And as you probably know, office buildings are staggering under incredible vacancy rates. I mean, anywhere from 15% to 30 or 40%. You cannot make a building work at that. I mean, you will lose the building. You cannot make your debt service. You can barely do your maintenance and operations. Well, the Canadian pension funds, which, by the way, had been among the world's most prolific buyers of real estate, kind of started that whole revolution, pension investing in real estate. The Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board recently sold three office buildings at really steep discounts. Two office buildings in Vancouver and one in Southern California. But it set a new record just a few weeks ago. Listen to this. So there's this office building in Manhattan, no less, Manhattan, New York. Tens upon tens of millions of dollars in value, even at today's hurting market discounted rate. They were so anxious to get rid of this asset, the Canadian asset manager sold its stake in this office building for $1. That's right, $1. And obviously, this has put additional downward pressure on commercial buildings throughout the United States and could spark kind of a fire sale panic, which, of course, will detrimentally affect regional banks. And also along the economic lines, shall we say. You think we're doing great, huh? The economy's just terrific, huh? Mr. Biden and Mr. Obama. Starbucks. Now, let's face it. You know, Starbucks is Starbucks, right? I personally won't give them a dime because they're woke, but lots of people do. They announced a surprise drop in same-store sales for the quarter just ended, March 31st. Pizza Hut and Kentucky Fried Chicken reported the same thing. Year-to-year downward sales. Even McDonald's is reporting that in a bunch of their stores. It just so happens, I don't know if you know this or not, but the cost of eating out at what's called quick service, unquote, restaurants, it's climbed faster than even eating at home. And listen, food inflation has been over 30% for the last 3 years. Never mind what the government tells you. You know, as Yoda would say, you know it to be true. Prices for limited service restaurants rose 5% in March. 5% in March compared to the year ago period. Now, you know, when people are curtailing eating McDonald's, you know people are running out of money. By the way, as a really interesting sidelight, the CEO of McDonald's, Chris Kepaczynski, I probably mispronounced it, but close enough, told analysts at a big kind of shareholder meeting, quote, "It's worth noting that in the first quarter, industry traffic, that is fast food, was flat to declining in the United States, Australia, Canada, Germany, Japan, and the United Kingdom," unquote. So folks, it's a global phenomena that we're undergoing on an economic basis, not just the United States. And along those lines, Google, oh, your friend Google. Google is laying off 200 of its top employees. This is not, you know, the office staff. From its quote-unquote core organization. That's like its key teams, its engineering. And they plan to hire some of those jobs back in Mexico and India. By the way, that bank that failed a few days ago, that was Philadelphia-based First Republic Bank. $6 billion in assets and $4 billion in customer deposits. They were bought out by a rival of theirs in Philadelphia by the name of Fulton Bank. And we'll get more into this at the end of the show, but folks, you ain't seen nothing yet. And going back to media bias, you know, that free speech thing that Benjamin Franklin was talking about? CNN has refused to broadcast an advertisement from a conservative organization called Building America's Future, which was about the death of that poor gal down there in Georgia, the nursing student, Lakin Riley, who was killed by an illegal alien. They refused to air that. And speaking of illegal aliens, the Biden-Harris administration, now that they were caught here a month or two ago, has now admitted that they have been facilitating clandestine flights from places all across the planet, transporting illegal aliens into the United States, in fact, to more than 43 different airports in the United States. And we're not talking about a few plane loads, folks. We're talking about somewhere between 320 and 360,000 unvetted illegal aliens being flown under the radar, so to speak, until they were caught, on your tax dollar. This is on your tax dollar, from all portions of the world to the United States. Think about what I was just telling you about the voter registration things, games that are going on. And this is after they were caught in 2022, slapped upside the head and stopped all those nocturnal flights that they were flying out of the border to places hither, yither, and yon throughout the United States, using your taxpayer dollars, of course. And we come to find out that there's an app that the administration developed that it gives to all these illegal aliens, and it's called the CBP-1 app. And it enables illegal aliens to seek asylum remotely while still in their country of origin. Oh, well, aren't we getting technical now? But there's also a function on the app, which was just discovered, that allows for the direct transportation. They can book their plane flight, folks. I wonder if they get aisle or window or, you know, first class service. They can book their direct transportation to the U.S., pretty much to the city of their choice, so long as it's one of those 43 airports. And I brought you a story a bit ago about Netherlands talking about closing down 3,000 Dutch farms, about a quarter of the farms in the Netherlands. What you may not know is that the Netherlands is the world's second biggest exporter of agricultural products by value behind the United States of America. In fact, their exports last year were $122.3 billion. I mean, that's chunk money for a little country like that. But the EU climate change regulators, ooh, oh, we're all going to incinerate any moment now. This is Reed. Here's a flash for you on financial preparedness, and I suggest you listen. The Fed just reported on 2023, the central bank itself lost billions of dollars. In addition, the government stacked $2 trillion in debt burden on the unbelievable debt. Currently, the 2024 debt load is breaking all records. It's going up $1 trillion every 100 days. The government lies, but the numbers don't. These are extremely negative events for your purchasing power. Since 2000 alone, your dollar has declined almost 90% in purchasing power. Gold, on the other hand, is up 700 to 800% as it fluctuates. You can roll over your retirement accounts to a silver or gold-backed IRA or have silver or gold shipped to you. Harvard Gold. I recommend them. Get protected today. Very conservative. Best customer service in the business. Top ratings. Great promotions. Call Harvard Gold Group, silver or gold, at 844-977-GOLD. Ask for your free investment guide. Call 844-977-GOLD or harvardgoldgroup.com. Hey, listeners. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal, your host of On the Right Side Radio, and I have a message for you. Do you want a business? Sell a product? Provide a service? Have a message you want to get out? Do you believe in freedom, the Constitution, and America? Here's your opportunity to reach 69 million sets of ears in scores of markets around the country, including 5 of the top 10 and 15 of the top 50 markets in the United States of America. Very affordable, very flexible, 30 and 60 second packages available. Give your business a boost and help America get the truth. Call Francis at Media Airtime at 602-300-8250, 602-300-8250, or write Francis at MediaAirtime.com. That's Francis at MediaAirtime.com. Thank you. The EU regulators have decided that all these farms you know, they're worsening, and the emissions, those cow farts, you know, are worsening climate change and can, quote, harm biodiversity, unquote. Oh, maybe that's BDEI, huh? So the European Union is giving the Netherlands, give or take, $1.5 billion to begin the process of buying out these 3,000 farms. It's unbelievable. To, quote, cut emissions, predominantly nitrogen oxide and ammonia, by 60% by the year 2030. I want you to keep this story in mind, by the way, as we get into another one here several rat-a-tat-tats from now. And we'll see if it all kind of clicks for you. In Spain, Murcia's farmers, they're petrified because Spain has cut water supplies to them from the River Tagus. Gee, kind of like Oregon up there, shutting down small farms based on quote-unquote water problems. Worldwide, folks, all these progressives are linked arm in arm. By the way, the Netherlands is going one step further. To cut nitrogen emissions, they now also want to reduce the livestock herd in the Netherlands by a third. Remember those stories I brought you 3-4 weeks ago about what's happening with the cattle industry in the United States? And up there in Calgary, who supposedly has a conservative prime minister, Calgary, Alberta, they have now proposed rezoning the entire city of Calgary. Remember our stories on what they're doing with your private property rights? You might want to revisit those. They want to rezone the entire city into, although they don't call it this because it doesn't sound good, into a prototype 15-minute smart city. That's exactly the blueprint of their rezoning. Obviously, that's being hotly contested by a number of people up there, but I'm running it up the flagpole so that you see that red flag waving in the wind. Now, to kind of tie in with what's happening over there in Netherlands and Spain, the Inflation Reduction Act, right? It's anything but that, obviously, but it had hundreds of millions of dollars in for NGOs. Some of those are, you know, putting illegal aliens on flights coming into 43 American airports at night from all around the world. That's yet another tale. But others are involved in creating sustainable things in the agricultural world here in the United States. Unfortunately, the sustainable things goes back to a Biden, Obama third term, directive here about 6 months ago to increase dramatically corn acreage, to increase ethanol, to create more sustainable airline jet fuel. I'm not making this up. And they plan to boost ethanol production from 15 billion gallons in 2022 basically to 23 billion gallons by 2025. And they're giving the airlines a $1.01 per gallon tax credit if they use all this yummy corn juice. But that could also, as some environmentalists on the other side of the fence are now pointing out, lead to 1.5 more billion pounds worth of fertilizer having to be applied to create the increase in the corn yield. And that might have really detrimental effects on water quality issues. You know, kind of like 30,000 acres of solar panels in the wilderness of the BLM in Wyoming and elsewhere around the West. John Eichert, he's a professor emeritus of agricultural economics at the University of Missouri. Here's what he had to say. Quote, we're putting more and more pressure on the productivity of agriculture to produce more corn. It's also producing more pollution. Any other industry that creates this amount of pollution and represented this level of risk to public health would be heavily regulated, unquote. I wonder if they're getting the $1 tax credit on the flights that are chugging these illegal aliens in from all points of the earth. What do you think? By the way, this increase in fertilizer for corn, which also increases livestock production, they say, also increases by millions of tons solid manure, which is spread over farmland as fertilizer. And manure, yes, it's great stuff, but it does contain nitrogen, phosphorus, and what they say are dangerous pathogens, I'm not too sure of that, that might contaminate waters. And if you don't think this has been a long-term plan of these goons, well, in 2016, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, you know, your friends and mine, identified phosphorus and nitrogen discharges from farmland, United States farmland, as, quote, the single greatest challenge to our nation's water quality, unquote. Folks, do you see a correlation between what's getting set up here in the United States and what's now going on over in the Netherlands with a mandatory, unless you say no, a mandatory 30% livestock reduction in herds and a mandatory 25% forced buyout of farms? Yeah, I think they're kind of correlated. And by the way, you know, it's not just the elites in the Western world that want you not to have a firearm. Red China has now gotten into the act over the last month with all sorts of propaganda talking about American violence and how can a civilized country allow their citizens to have arms and et cetera, et cetera. Now, you wouldn't think China would be worried about, you know, 100, 150 million Americans having rifles, kind of the same way the Japanese were when they decided not to invade America back there in World War II. I'm sure they didn't even think about it. Let's swing back to economics. Housing. Housing is beginning to show some cracks. Not in all markets, but in many. Inventory has increased because, listen, even if you don't want to sell your house, stuff happens. Divorces, deaths, you name it. And as inventory is increasing and people aren't buying because of interest rates, prices are coming down. But the precursor to what happens in the overall housing industry, as any of you folks in real estate or conversing with real estate know, is that a downturn in housing is always led by new construction, new home. And new construction starts, that is groundbreakings, and permits are way down over the last 60 days. So there's a little canary chirping in the coal mine of housing. And then, of course, no progressive is happy unless they can't interfere in how you run your family and how you discipline your children and how you interact with your children. So in Illinois, there's this bill that might actually make it through the Illinois legislature. Illinois House Bill 4876. It would change the definition of abused child, quote unquote, to include minors, quote, whose parents object to their children receiving puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, transgender surgeries, and abortions, unquote. Oh, and by the way, it also shields doctors from liability if they prescribe any of those treatments, including, you know, like massive sex change surgery, to minors without parental consent. By the way, this bill doesn't just stop there. Oh, no, no, no. I mean, if you're progressive, you got to go all the way here. It gives the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, the DCFS, the power to remove children from their homes based on their new definition of, quote unquote, abused child. And by the way, in Illinois, child abuse is a criminal offense, and it ranges from a misdemeanor that carries a maximum sentence of 1 year in prison and $2,500 fine to a felony that can carry $25,000 in fines and 15 years behind bars. So basically they're saying, parents, you domestic terrorists, you're going to risk prison time and a big fine by trying to do the right thing for your child and maybe, you know, assisting a 14-year-old with not getting life-altering, permanently maiming surgery because of a indoctrinated fad that she was taught by a progressive woke teacher in school. And the European Union, you talk about putting a stake in the heart of the dollar. I mean, you really have to think it's intentional. You can't be this stupid. You simply can't be. But the European Union, along with the United States and Janet Yellen, our communist Treasury Secretary, are both promoting this outright theft. That is, taking the $300 billion that they froze of Russia's and stealing it. That's right. And giving it to Ukraine. In fact, some of the morons over there in the EU want to just hand all $300 billion over to the oligarchs, you know, Zelensky with his five houses around the world. Just give them the $300 billion. You know, whatever. Just give it to them. They'll do the right thing. Others, morons that they are, want to just pay them the interest payments on the $300 billion. Of course, since these are frozen assets that continue to earn interest, that's also theft. It's almost as bad, like one degree off as bad as just taking the $300 billion to begin with. And of course, this would be the death knell for the dollar. And eventually, their European Union currency, right? The euro dollar. And all the other countries, particularly the BRICS countries, have caught on. No wonder the dollar is getting hatcheted here. The Indonesian president, when he heard about this, gave a little speech. And basically he said, we need to get out of the dollar and dollar-denominated assets. Quote, look what happened to Russia, unquote. I mean, wow. And to give you an idea, never mind the loss of purchasing power of the dollar, 20% just over the last 3 or 4 years, and 90%, that's 90%, since the year 2000, give or take a year, the dollar fell from 73% of other countries' currency reserves, like 20 years ago, to 55% in 2021. But after the seizure of the Russian financial assets, which, by the way, are equivalent in Russia's sized economy to about $4 trillion in our economy, it gave this trend a shove into overdrive, if you will, right? I mean, you pedal to the metal. The dollar's share of currency reserves around the planet plunged 8%. percentage points in just the last 2 years, falling to 47% of reserves held by other countries around the planet. This is down from 73% 20 years ago and 55% in 2021. 12% decline. Unbelievable. And now let me give you, taking all this, and by the way, I didn't even scratch the tip of the iceberg here, to use a cliche. But looking back over everything we've been over the last 10 to 12 weeks, putting that together with what you know from other informational sources, and using just as a slight indicator the rat-a-tat-tats I brought you on a multitude of levels today, let me tell you what I think is most likely, with some little variation which I'll discuss, to happen over the next 1 to 5 years in various components of our world and our lives. Well, here we are. We're down to 3.5 minutes. I mean, there's just not enough time. I didn't even cover all the rat-a-tat-tat. Obviously, this is not enough time for me to go into proper detail and the entire list of my quote-unquote forecast for you. So instead, we're going to do that next week in terms of the details, what things will change, how they will change, the rate of change, the amount of change, depending upon a major event upcoming, the election, and whether or not Biden, i.e. Obama, is reelected. There's some dark horse that gets elected, RFK throws it into the House, maybe he gets elected, or Trump is reelected, or some successor to Trump on the Republican side if that doesn't go well. And I think that will actually tie in perfectly to the theme and thesis of the upcoming interview with John Rubino and the debut of the Cowboys Take on the Right Side Radio, the video forecasts. The video shows. So here's what's not going to change, and it doesn't matter who's getting elected. This is a huge, monstrous ship. It can no longer be turned nimbly. And while some of the items I'm going to list here for you will change depending upon who wins the election, either for better or for worse, in some cases far worse, the rate of change will be glacier-like because it takes so long to turn this monstrous, oversized, overburdened ship of state. So here's what you can expect not to change or not to change appreciably within any reasonable time period, no matter the outcome of the election or some black swan event, which I'm certain is coming our way. The United States debt is not going to change much. The deficit, it'll go down a little bit, depending upon who's elected, but it's going to continue to roll along at $1 to $2 trillion a year. Interest rates are not going to change. They're going to go up. Current levels of intrusion and surveillance by the deep state part of the government won't change for a while. Maybe it'll change, depending upon the election, over time. The degradation of our military is not going to be corrected anytime soon. The direction of the economy is now unalterable. The die is cast. We're now into the lag effect of all the nonsense that has occurred for decades, and particularly over the last year or two under Biden and the Federal Reserve raising interest rates as they did. The fragility of the banking system is not going to change. In fact, it's going to get worse because of the lag effect. Doesn't matter who's in charge. The degradation of the dollar is not going to change. It may be slowed depending upon the election, but the BRICS nation are hell-bent for leather, and they don't like us. The fragility of our grid, of our infrastructure, is not going to be changing anytime soon. Censorship will not be changing anytime soon, and that goes back to Congress. We'll talk about that next week. And the division within this country, of all sorts, of all natures, that has been foisted on us by Democrats, and particularly Obama, now nearing the end of his third term, hopefully not to have a fourth, it's purposeful, and it's been ingrained, and it's going to take a very long time to once again unify this country. So that's what's not going to change. Next week, we'll talk about what might change, how fast, how much, how you can prepare yourself for these changes or lack of changes or adverse changes. We're out of time. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Remember, look in the mirror, repeat after me, and repeat it with conviction. I will muster. I will stand. I will not comply. I will never give in. I will never stop fighting. I will join with those in these United States and around the globe who love freedom as I do. And we will win. Oh, yes, we will. Keep the wind at your back. I'll talk to you next week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, go to ontherightsideradio.com. Click on Show Archives, and you'll find all of Reed's shows and a terrific array of informative articles, videos, and reference pages. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of On the Right Side Radio with Reed Lance Rosenthal.